But you talk about heroes. I know guys don't like to hear that term. They're humble, but it is true. The worst day in the history of this country, Rudy Giuliani got us all through it here in New York, and he will forever be beloved and revered by not just all of us here in New York City, but everybody across the United States. He's America's mayor, now works alongside, of course, President Trump. Those two guys very, very close. And here he is back again for his second visit on the Bernie and Sid Show. Honored to have him, the great mayor, Rudy Giuliani. Good morning, Rudy. How are you, pal?
Hello,
good
Mayor.
How's everyone today? Are you feeling okay this morning?
Everybody feels good, thank God.
God bless.
Yes, good. You too. You know, I want to get to something you and I talked about on the phone last night, and that is a lot of people, Rudy, making analogies between this and 9/11. And you said to me last night, you know, we talked about going to a baseball game afterwards, and
you said
you'd walk into a restaurant and people would be so happy to see you. This is the complete antithesis. Now we're not supposed to see people. After 9/11, people comforted us.
Well, that's one of the major differences. And one of the things that I had that I was able to do, and, you know, after the first 2 days, after getting organized, I decided right away I had to try to bring as many people back to normal as possible, as quickly as possible, and with respect for the fact that they were going to grieve. So I sort of got it into my head that I would allow people to get over it. I wouldn't tell them they had to, but I'd allow them to do it. And the first thing I did is I called up some of the owners in Broadway, and I said, when are you coming back? And they said, 2 weeks or something like that. And I said, you're crazy. There's no reason why you can't perform. They said, well, terrorists will come and attack us. I said, I'll have 50,000 cops out there, because they only had 40,000. But don't worry, it'll be okay. The first night they came back, which was a couple of days later, the theaters were empty. I went to four plays in order to applaud for them. And then within a day or two, 3 days, they started to fill up. And 2 weeks later, they were completely full. Same thing with baseball. They were worried about it. I kept calling the commissioner's office every day. Go back. Play. Go back. You can do your job. You can't help me dig people out of the horrible thing that happened. I got the people to do that. What you can do is lift the spirit of the American people. So I pushed very, very hard for people to come back. We did a whole program of Visit New York. We got people like Barbara Walters and Henry Kissinger to advertise on television how wonderful New York is. You can't do that now. I mean, you can't. It's much harder. It's much more difficult to lift people's spirits now, because what do you tell them to do? Stay home and, you know, and watch coverage of coronavirus. And that's essentially wall-to-wall coronavirus. I still think you have to appeal to hope. And whenever I get a chance to talk to any of the leaders, I try to remind them, end every press conference on a high note. Please remind people this is going to end. This is not the permanent state of affairs. Even if it extends longer than we think, it's going to end. We're going to get back to normal. This didn't happen because of anything wrong with our economy. This isn't a depression. This happened because of an external, unforeseeable, horrible thing. And actually, we're going to be strengthened when we overcome it. But it's a little harder to give people the visuals of that.
Especially if you watch Rudy Giuliani, America's mayor, if you watch some of the cable news and the local news, the Chicken Littles, the gloom and doomers, they won't give you hope. They present it in the worst possible way, this news. It will end, as you say, and the president has harnessed the power of the private sector, Ford, GM, and a lot of private companies to make masks, all these things, and also Bayer donating millions of doses of hydroxychloroquine, which, by the way, you got into a little beef with on Twitter and the governor of Michigan because you promoted hydroxychloroquine. If Trump is for it, everybody else is against it, even if it helps people.
Yeah, now they should apologize to me. I'm right and they're wrong. I mean, hydroxychloroquine is now, the doctors are coming forward. I mean, I knew this 3 weeks ago. Half the doctors were using it. Because doctors are smart. They can make calculated decisions. My God, I talked to a doctor yesterday whose father is very sick. He's just finishing his medical education. He's getting ready to go into practice with his father. He's been in school for 10 years. I mean, doctors are smart guys. And we want the FDA to supersede their thinking. Look, give them the guidance. But they can see that this medicine works. And I studied it really carefully. They talked about the side effects. You don't get side effects to it until unless there's constant usage, because it's used for rheumatoid arthritis. It's used for lupus. It used to be used for malaria. The only side effect really is for a person who has a certain kind of arrhythmia. And you just don't give it to that person. But how many medicines are there like that that we have where certain people can't take the medicine? But other people, it's enormously effective. And I hope I'm wrong, but I think because the president promoted that and the other one, Remdesivir, all of a sudden the liberal press is attacking the medicine.
Yes.
And then attacking anybody who says, I was just reporting what I was told. I'm not a doctor. I was told by doctors, you got to get this out there. This works. This works. And they were starting to tell me it works in 20 cases, in 30 cases.
Yeah.
Finally, the French government put out a report definitively showing that it works and authorizing its use in France.
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, 100%
Rudy, successful.
I just spoke to the FDA commissioner, Dr. Stephen Hahn, on this show 2 weeks ago, Rudy, not 2 months ago, 2 weeks ago, and he was hesitant to say this could be used by a lot of folks, and it only took 2 weeks later, and now the FDA has approved this medication. So obviously, you were right from the very beginning, and so was President Trump. I will ask you, though, about local politics. You know, Bill de Blasio always comes up. Bill de Blasio, the worst mayor in the history of New York. You, Rudy Giuliani, the best mayor in the history of New York.
Well,
there's a difference. But if Bill de Blasio woke up this morning and got off his ego horse and came to the realization, hey, I'm a really crappy mayor, and we're in the middle of a really big crisis, and I'm doing a terrible job, and I need help. And he placed a call to you and said, hey, Rudy, you ran this city during the worst thing in this country's history. You helped everybody get back to a sense of normalcy and feeling good again. If he decided to do that, what would your recommendation be for Bill de Blasio to stop the panic and get this city back to normal?
I would say let's set up a meeting right away, immediately, as soon as you can do it, with Andrew Cuomo. Let's sit down. If we got an hour, let's sit down for an hour. I can be there or not. It's up to you two guys. You two guys have to be together. You got to be a team. The state and the city have to act as one here. We then maximize our resources where maybe they have a few extra beds somewhere in New York that they're not using because it's not as hard hit. They send it here. Where the city has extra resources and there's a department of health, and maybe there's a big breakout in Troy, New York. They can send a few people there. When we have to get an approval from Washington, we don't have to go through 5 days of paperwork. My staff, your staff, will sit down together. Actually, I'd push them as far as what George Pataki and I did, which is to hold one staff meeting a day together with their staffs there, the people who are working on it. Five de Blasio people, five Cuomo people, iron everything out. And when you're going to put out a statement on how long is this going to go? How about if you guys are on the same page? Don't one of you tell us it's going to end in 5 weeks, and the other one say it may never end. That's the thing that's necessary. There has to be concerted action between city and state, because what will happen is the state will get the benefit of de Blasio's great resources. De Blasio has the superior resources. He's got the best health department in the country. He's got the best police department in the world, the best fire department in the world, the best emergency services. I mean, New York City has exceptional talent in its workforce, more than any other city. So Cuomo really can't direct that. So that's getting directed based on a different rationale, if any. Meanwhile, Cuomo's got the authority. I mean, he could declare a state of emergency as he has. He could stop it. He could actually remove de Blasio from office if he wanted to. I mean, the governor has superior power. So you need the mayor's resources,
yeah,
Hopefully his expertise, and the governor's power. And now you've got quite a combination that things get done right, and then you have a single position with the federal government.
America's Mayor Giuliani on the Bernie and Sid Show on WAT. Mayor, let me ask you this question. De Blasio, of course, a disaster, generally speaking, and Cuomo getting high praise for his handling of this current crisis. But the fact remains that we were woefully unprepared for this crisis. Now, New York City and New York State in general, but New York City in particular, are terrorist targets, number one terrorist targets in the world. How could they be so unprepared with medical equipment, beds, and even ventilators? Cuomo had a chance to buy ventilators in 2015. He turned it down. He said, you know what, we'll ration them if we have to. So how could they have been so woefully unprepared, even though, they again, Cuomo's handling it nicely? But the fact remains, state and local municipalities should bear some of the burden and the responsibility of being prepared.
Well, I'd like to know how often they did tabletop exercises with the mayor. How often did they do on-site exercises? Here's what I mean by that. I came into office right after the attack on the World Trade Center in 1993. I promised when I ran and immediately established an Office of Emergency Management. I said the city isn't prepared for this kind of terrorist attack. Police department and fire department are the best in the world, but they weren't trained for this. So we need a special department that focuses just on catastrophe emergencies, and we establish it under Jerry Hauer and eventually Richie Shearer. They were fabulous. They developed 26 emergency management plans. We had numerous tabletop exercises, and we had four or five drills where we pretended there was a sarin gas attack. We pretended there was an anthrax attack. So when we handled anthrax on October 10th, 11th, 2001, we had practiced how to do it. And when we practiced how to do it, we were critiqued by the federal government. And in the practice, we had lost about 20 police officers because we sent them in with the wrong equipment. But we changed that between the practice and the actuality. And then tabletop exercise, you don't go to quite to that expense, but you sit around a big table and everybody plays a role. I play mayor. You play police commissioner, fire commissioner. What happens if there's a bomb released in Madison Square Garden, you know, in the middle of a Knick game, when people used to go to Knick games, I should add.
That's funny.
I'm sorry. But the point is, I'd like to go back and look at the record. How much practice did de Blasio have? For better or worse, however we handled it and George handled it, we had a lot of practice.
Yeah, and that does matter. Mayor Rudy Giuliani here. Again, he'll be back at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Was brilliant yesterday in his two runs.
I hope I can help people. I mean, I got them that information about how you can take out a loan and pay your employees, and it'll be forgiven. So people don't have to be out of work. If you have a business, you got people out of work, go to your bank. They'll give you the money to pay the employees, and you get it back.
That's right.
Yep, that's what they should be doing, no doubt. They should not be paying their employees because they're setting themselves up for lawsuits all over the country. One, in fact, the courts reopened. You know, it's funny, you mentioned the other Knickerbockers, and one of the things that you'd be remiss, you talk to Rudy Giuliani, you got to bring up baseball. You just have to. And obviously, the Yankees. So we talked last time about what the World Series meant in 2001, Yankees Diamondbacks after the 9/11 tragic event, what Mike Piazza's home run against the Braves meant. Now, tomorrow is supposed to be opening day in the Bronx, Yankees Blue Jays.
Oh, my God.
I know you would have been there. You're not going this year, so.
I probably have gone to 80, 90%. I only don't go if it's absolutely necessary, whatever it is. I mean, I love opening day. I'll tell you one funny story about it. The first opening day after I was mayor, so I sat with Mike Bloomberg, because it was Mike's first opening day. And I don't know if you remember this, but in the first inning, the Yankees go out on the field, and this pretty girl jumps over the...
Yes.
She runs up, she tries to kiss Jeter, and she gives him her phone number. And she runs off. The guy in back of me leans over to Bloomberg and me. He looks at Bloomberg. He said, that wouldn't have happened if he was mayor. Bloomberg said, why? No, Bloomberg said, why? He said, he would have had a shot when she came out of the stand.
That's great. I remember that. I do remember that girl running onto the field and kissing Derek Jeter.
Well, the guy said I would have shot her. I said, gee, I wasn't that tough. He said, yes, you were.
I got to tell you, you got to harken back too, Rudy, when, talking about Derek Jeter, he was the last person that President Bush saw, Bush 43, before he came on the field to throw out that ceremonial first pitch of the World Series game.
I was there when Derek Jeter said to him, he was warming up. The president was warming up. And I was with him when he was warming up. And I always give people a little trick on throwing out the first ball that Yogi Berra taught me. He said, look, all these old guys used to come out there, and they used to play baseball, and they try to throw a damn fastball. And I have to go down in the dirt with my bad knees and get it. He said, I used to go out there, and I'd say, there's a trick. Throw it up high like an arc, and you can fake a fastball. In other words, throw it up in the air.
Right.
Let it come down, and it'll come down in the strike zone. And every time I did it, it always worked. So I showed the president that. He's getting ready for it. He's off the mound. You know, that's the way he used to do it. Jeter comes by and says, Mr. President, you're not going to throw from the rubber? I swear to God, the president was intimidated. He started throwing. We had to go all over again to get him the extra distance.
Yep.
Because Jeter challenged him to throw from the rubber. But Donnie, he threw a strike, and that was electric. But you see, you could do things like that then. We can't have a...
No.
I mean, what's going on? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could focus for 4 or 5 hours on a baseball game?
Yeah. It would be great, but it's completely different times. Hey, listen,
but
Rudy.
But it is coming. It is coming.
It is coming at some point, hopefully July.
And so I think we'll be stronger as a result of it.
Well, we hope so. Yes. Listen, Rudy, you're terrific. We look forward to you again at 4 o'clock this afternoon. You were great on your two shows yesterday. You're always great with me and Bernie. So, Mr. Mayor, we love you. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for what you're doing. You are basically, you are the communication people have. You're it.
Well, thank you, Rudy. We appreciate that. There he is, the great Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Yes. Thank you, Rudy. We'll hear from you again coming up at 4 o'clock.